The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
One thing that you wanted to talk about this week is getting around safely. Now, with all the talk on fixing the awful state of our roads, all the potholes we hear about in the news near enough every week, our panel this week decided to sit down and talk about the issues more pertinent to them as blind and partially sighted young people, such as the state of the UK's pavements, crossing the road safely, and the ongoing concern over parked cars on pavements. Big issue, something we'll be talking about a lot this hour. But first, let's hear from four young people who decided to get around the microphone and talk about this very issue. Over to you guys.
My name is Stephen Sutherland. I'm in the Connect Radio and I'm also part of the Connect group. Today I'm here with a couple of guests and we're going to be talking about roads and pavements and street furniture. I would like to start by introducing our guests. So if my first person to my right can say their name.
Hello Connect Radio, I am Ross from Glasgow.
Hello everyone, it's Hussein Patra representing the Northeast of Scotland from Aberdeen.
Hello everyone, it's Amanda Butt, also representing the Northeast of Scotland, living in Aberdeen.
Excellent, thank you very much for joining us here on Connect Radio. So as I mentioned just 2 seconds ago there, we're going to be talking about roads, pavements and street furniture. One very difficult obstacle, which I'm sure we all agree is quite a tricky thing for people with visual impairments. My own experiences with it is quite tricky, where I tend to hurt my ankles on uneven pavements. I've also snapped symbol canes and things, and guide canes many times. I would like to ask what would your experiences would be, so who would like to start?
Well, I think one big problem with pavements is the state of the pavement in general. They never seem to get the same level of attention as roads, but also, of course, the many different types of obstructions that can take place on pavements. I live on quite a quiet street, and it's actually safer for me to walk on the road rather than on the pavement, not a precedent which I think many people would want to follow.
Mm-hmm. Ross, would you like to go?
Yeah, well, the biggest problem I have is with street furniture, especially if you're walking down like a high street and there's lots of restaurants and bars and they have tables and signs and stuff outside the door. It's very annoying when you're walking down and you trip and bang into things. It's not great.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And Amanda, do you have you?
All sorts of different things with the state of the pavements. Canes get stuck in sort of holes and bits and pieces and you can sort of ruin them. As regards street furniture, that is a real obstacle with wheelie bins and, like Ross said, sort of things that are in cafes or, you know, that are outside sort of cafes like tables and chairs. And, of course, one of the worst bugbears is cars and lorries parked on pavements.
Absolutely, but fortunately, hopefully in the next couple of years or so, something may be done about that one, because there is currently a parking on pavements bill being processed through the Scottish Parliament. So hopefully that will draw attention to the impact that this has, and hopefully we may have legislation on street furniture too, who knows?
You mentioned there about Scottish Parliament legislation. Is there anything in your own view that you think could potentially be of use to avoid these kind of obstacles?
Well, I think general awareness to begin with by obviously businesses and private residents as well. You know, everybody, for example, needs to take their bins out in the morning, and, you know, businesses do want to advertise. But understanding that, you know, where possible, if we can try and keep the pavement environment as clear as we can. And I think for drivers as well, the roadway is usable for parking, and that way we have equal right of way for cars and pedestrians. I just don't think that it's right that as pedestrians we should have impeded access. So I think there's room on both sides to work together on this, but maybe it just needs a slight steer from the powers that be.
Going back to the issue that I face quite a lot is like walking into things that are outside bars and shops and things. Also, something else that is a big, big issue, and I think that at some point I've spoken to everyone that's here today about this, is pillars in city centres. The pillars that you get in streets are usually the same colour as the pavement, so they're really no help, even though they're supposed to be there to help guide people who are visually impaired. They do not help, and I think that a solution to that would be to have some kind of colour at the top of them to help people see them, because they are not they're not good.
Absolutely, I mean, it's certainly options that could be explored for the future. One thing I've always found rather irritating is when people decide to leave rubbish bags on the ground that are full of rubbish rather than actually putting them in bins.
That is extremely irritating.
Not to mention not nice in the smell department either.
Exactly, yeah. It's not exactly the most nicest of sights or smells for people even with non-visual impairments. So it's something I've noticed. It's predominantly businesses that tend to do this. They leave all their waste around about bins rather than actually inside them. For me, can be quite hazardous. I've numerous times got my cane stuck in bags, which can knock me off my stride sometimes.
It reminds me of an announcement that was being played at a bus stop in Aberdeen a few years back. And it said, "Aberdeen is our city, keep it clean and beautiful." And it just suddenly struck me, talking about clear pavements and clear access ways, just how literally that can be taken. And it may be something that people might find worth thinking about.
Absolutely.
How do you find when you are crossing roads for, say, for example, the lights system? Do you find that easy enough, or is there any issues with that you might know of?
Well, I find it quite difficult to know when, what colour the lights are. Thankfully, though, when I do travel, I am usually with other people, so they can obviously tell me when. But a fear that I have is that if I am walking somewhere on a busy road, I cannot see the colours that are on it. Sometimes there are traffic lights that will beep, but not all of them do, which is really not helpful at all.
And has Hussein and Amanda also found anything of similar?
Yeah, my biggest problem, Stephen, is sometimes just finding a crossing control in the first place. You know, whether it has tactile or audio feedback really doesn't help if you can't activate it. And it was interesting that last month I was told of a project called Neatbox, which, to keep it short, is someone has developed an app which, by installing a fairly low-cost kit into a road crossing, you can use your phone to activate that. So it takes a lot of the hassle and the frustration out of finding the crossing point, especially if nobody else is there. But obviously, technology isn't the answer to everything. I think there's quite often a lack of standardization between crossings. And the biggest thing which I've started finding recently is where you have crossings that are close together, it's sometimes difficult to know which one's actually beeping at you.
Absolutely. And I must admit, as well as not being able to find the crossings, some of the lights are in an awful state. People sort of take bits out of them, you know, when you're actually crossing the lights, the actual bit that you put your finger in to press the thing, it's absolute. The lights are getting into an awful mess.
Yeah.
And it's something that's really, really not good.
Absolutely. And one thing I found in Glasgow is that people seem to think it's funny to stick on stickers on the bit that says wait, which can be quite quite annoying.
Or chewing gum.
And things like that. When they put stickers on the bit that says wait, you don't actually know if the button's then working, if you can't see the bit that says wait.
Trust me, Stephen, it's not just in Glasgow that we have that problem.
Do you find that that's an issue that you also have in the northern part of Scotland as well?
Yeah. Yes, we do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We had someone from the council come to talk to our local Society for the Blind in Aberdeen, and we asked them this question as well, and they said that whilst they do undertake maintenance, obviously they can only do it so often, but it got me to thinking whether we don't need to have some kind of easier to access reporting system for, you know, anything related to the street environment that's causing a problem for visually impaired or non-visually impaired. So if there's a particular pavement that's in a bad state, who do you actually go to report that? For example, if a set of traffic lights isn't working, there's a clear section on the council website that tells you where to phone. Or sometimes if a crossing isn't working. But there's nothing to say if you've got a pothole in the pavement or there's some slabs that have been, you know, minced up, who to go to get that looked at.
Yeah. See, there's one thing that's on my mind. There was the pavement setting. See, before you come to the end of a road, they've got the certain design on the pavements.
Do you mean the bubble?
I'm not entirely sure of the name of it, but you know, the road changes and they've got to be... is it bubbles, is it called?
Tactile
pavement, that's the one, yeah. Do you find that at all useful? Because I do know a lot of people are unaware of how that works. How's your view on it?
I mean, it is useful because obviously then you know when you're coming up to a road. So yeah, it is quite useful.
I just hope that it can be used in the right place because sometimes the tactiles are close together and if it's a very broad pavement, it can be difficult to work out where the tactile starts and finishes to orientate yourself to either cross the pavement or cross the road.
And the other thing is that some of the tactile pavements, certainly in Aberdeen, if it's wet, then they're very slippery.
They are indeed, yeah. So again, it was another thing that sprung to mind, is that they can be quite tricky to walk on. If it's been raining or if it's ice or snow, it can be quite difficult. Ross, would you like to come in with any of you?
Something that came into my mind there that I just remembered is I think this is, it's pretty much everywhere, where there's so many cars parked, and when you're like trying to get across the road, you sometimes have to go between parked cars.
Yeah.
That's a really big issue for me, especially as I obviously can't see round the cars to see if there's something coming. That's a really, really big issue that I think needs to, I think that there needs to be a lot more parking structures available to deal with that. So.
Yeah, so do you think that it's probably more beneficial that there's like parking restrictions, or that it maybe should be that they're not allowed to park on the likes of corners of roads? So
yeah,
that when people are walking, they can actually see the oncoming traffic rather than having to practically walk out in front to the middle of the road before they can see where the traffic is.
Yeah, because during mobility lessons and stuff, I was told with a cane never to walk through parked cars, but sometimes you literally have no option because there's no space for you to cross, that you have to. And obviously with being visually impaired, that's a really, it's a big risk for anyone, but especially if you are visually impaired and you don't know what's coming.
Has anybody who have walked, say, across the road between lights ever had any injuries or falls due to the states of the roads?
I've never had an injury, but I've had quite a few close shaves. But something that just struck me, just talking about the same topic, is increasingly councils are making use of powers to create shared spaces. So that is where vehicles, cars, buses share the same space as pedestrians, and you often find these in town centres. And one of the side effects that is obviously reduces the amount of available parking space and pushes a lot of the traffic into side roads to create exactly that problem that Ross has just told us. And I just generally think that as time goes on, town centres are becoming a more and more dangerous place, especially for elderly folk, notwithstanding people with a visual impairment. Even people that are just walking slowly, sometimes you can have quite a few near misses of people tearing around corners very quickly or crossing just not giving you enough time to get across.
So earlier we were talking about the UK and the state of the pavements in the UK. Could we go back to that, and could you tell us any experiences that you've had with maybe injuries that you may have experienced?
In Glasgow City Centre, I have been in situations where I have tripped and fallen. Thankfully, not hurt myself too seriously because I've been with my friend, and 99% of the time, someone usually catches me or I fall into someone. But there have been occasions where I have fallen because I've not seen that the pavements are uneven. And I've noticed that especially in sort of side streets, it's worse. But also on main streets, which is really bad because it's a main street, there's loose paving and things like that. And I've tripped going across the road on the pavement and stuff as I'm crossing the road.
Ross, I mean, it's a good point that you even mentioned there with the side streets, because they don't seem to matter as much, and the likes of cobbles can be tricky to walk on as well, particularly if you get cymbal canes or a guide cane.
As a long cane user, maybe my cane offers me a bit of protection, but one thing I noticed when walking along pavements is where the pavement is uneven or there are gaps between the slabs, very often the ball tip of the cane gets caught against the edge of a slab, gets slightly raised, and that brings you to a sudden halt, but you also get the cane digging into the centre of your stomach, simply as a side effect of the way you've been taught to use the cane. But you know, perhaps that's a different issue. As I say, fortunately up until now I've been lucky and touch wood may that continue. But I have often tripped up a curb when moving onto the pavement where the surface of the road has been uneven, and it's led to a slight deviation in a gradient moving up onto the pavement.
Yeah, I've also sort of done that. You know, you've used your cane and sort of it's sort of got into a bit of uneven thing and it sticks in it. And I mean, one time I nearly fell over, but I just managed to sort of catch myself. But it's the kind of shock you feel when it happens, and you just think, oh my goodness, you know, it's horrible.
Moment. Yeah, yeah, I've experienced that a few times myself where I've walked into main roads. And there's been a slight ditch in the road, and my ankle just seems to keel over because I'm unaware of the difference in the level of the ground. I've had one severe injury where I badly sprained my ankle. I thought I'd broken it, so thankfully I didn't. But it was quite horrendous, and it was painful.
And it just really makes you think, doesn't it? You know, when we're trying to empower people to get out more and more on their own independently, and the state of the pavements almost seems to be working against you. And I'm just thinking of those who may perhaps have an incident and it may significantly damage their confidence to get out. And I wonder, is that really the sort of environment we want to be keeping at the moment?
It definitely isn't. And we really need to sort of try and stop this from happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's us coming to the end of our time. So I'd like to thank both Ross, Hussein and Amanda for joining us at Connect Radio. My name's Stephen Sutherland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. We literally hand the mic to you and you tell us your story. That is exactly what the Weekly Connect is all about. Thank you to the guys there for getting in touch and talking about that issue.
The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.